Dice rolls dragons trolls
adventurous.
We're checking. There's no one else who checks quite like we be checking. I have to wait for you to finish drinking hot chocolate. Welcome to
Dadventurous
Hot Chocolate Edition.
We're doing special editions now.
Yeah, for sure.
Beach edition and Christmas special.
Yeah. Welcome back, fellow listeners.
Well,
I guess they're not fellow listeners.
We're not listeners.
Welcome back to this nonsense that we call a podcast. Hopefully everyone had a wonderful week.
Of spring break? Or wait.
That won't matter, because when it comes out, it won't be spring break anymore.
Oh, right. Several weeks ago.
Roger.
How was everyone's spring break?
There you go. Tell us in the comments. Hopefully everybody is ready to continue on the story of Kia, Flibbit, and Nonsense.
We're on the road again.
You are on the road again. Last week, are you ready for the recap?
Yeah.
Last week, you found yourself, you found yourself in the town of Bramble Beach, this idyllic waterside town with beautiful little beach huts and a lot of people there to celebrate Sanscrape Day.
Sanscrape Day.
And it was this little local holiday that celebrated when the people of Bramble Beach rose up against a scraper incursion and pushed them all back into these subway tunnels nearby. Every year they celebrated with a sand scrape building contest, and one winner would achieve a grand prize, and there were some prizes for the other places. You placed second place.
Yeah.
With a rendition of your own scrape back home. And when the ceremony was happening and some fireworks went off, unfortunately, one of the fireworks blew sideways and erupted, and a bunch of very old scrapers from the subway tunnels poured out.
Specifically, 22-year-olds, exactly.
That's right.
We're doing exact numbers on this show. Exactly, yeah, 10 feet tall.
Yeah, we're very specific about numbers and horribly unspecific about the plot that I'm pretty sure is still correct. I'm vaguely following my notes. I'm just kidding, but also not really. And
every DM vaguely follows their notes.
And you battled crazy beach ball and umbrella scrapers back, and you didn't just push them back into the subway tunnels. You and your fellow sand scrape contestants and Flibbit fought them and defeated them, and a new Bramble Beach scramble was inducted. Maybe they'll have a new holiday next year celebrating this new
Bramble Scramble?
Bramble Scramble with a new Sandscrape Day.
Wait, would that just be the same Sandscrape Day?
It would be the same day, but it'd be for a new event.
Would they still make Sandscrapes?
I don't see why not. It worked for them this
then
long.
Then it's the same holiday.
Yeah, but it's celebrating a new historic moment of the holiday. That's like taking Halloween and then one day actual ghosts rise up out of the grave, and they also go trick-or-treating on Halloween night. Halloween would still exist, but it'd probably become a new thing where you've got to deal with ghosts everywhere. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Actually, that would be kind of like fun for a horror movie.
There you go, but it would still be Halloween, wouldn't it?
It would.
There you go. Problem logic solved with logic flawed.
Problem logic, flawed logic solved with flawed logic.
There you go. That's basically Dadventurous in a nutshell.
Yep.
All right. So you beat back these scrapers, and you went to, you took a long rest, and then you woke up the morning, had some delicious coconut pancakes.
Yes!
And you got a call from Theodora. She was asking about your progress with Athon and the surged artifact, this baseball cap that you still have, that, to your knowledge, didn't do anything when you put it on, which was kind of a standout from the other items that you had. You started to make your way north when she called you. She called you and checked in. You told her about your plans to go north to Wander Wharf to meet up with Beryl and Harwick, and learn a little bit more about what was going on.
Right, his name is Harwick.
Harwick, yep. And you're still hot on the trail of Czar Bloodhoof and a captured Maud.
I also tried to call Maud.
Oh, yes, you did.
And I heard Maud's voice, but I couldn't make out any words.
It seemed... Because you rolled an epically low perception check.
Yes, I did.
But yes, it seems like maybe Maud does still have the rock, but...
Rocky-talkie,
but hasn't been using it to communicate. It's strange. You're not sure why.
Or maybe she's keeping it secret.
Maybe she is.
Very interesting. Spanish.
Was that? It turns on. Okay. I was trying to figure out what you said. Now I understand. Okay. And so you hang up the rocky-talkie, and Flibbit looks at you, and he goes, well, I guess we know that maybe Maud still has the device, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We still gotta catch her.
Yeah. We still gotta catch up with Czar. And see... Oh, and go to Wonder Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
For, what was that guy's name?
Harwick Thistle. Harwick Thistle, I believe is what Beryl said.
Yeah.
He was like the mayor Harwick. Now, I think.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Why do so many people Beryl knows become mayors?
Isn't it just one?
Well, she, like, knew of Czar Bloodhoof, and he became mayor of Scarlet Hill.
I suppose that's fair.
So, and, like, she knew Harwick.
Two for five in terms of people who are mayors that she knows.
You think she only knows five people?
I don't know. I'm not sure what we're talking about anymore.
I'm not either.
And you start rocketing down the road, the blender going strong behind you. You got a fresh supply of...
Taters.
Taters and bog bloom flowers. But I'll say you're going to use up most of your supply on this run. And you look at the map that Callie gave you all those days ago, and... you see that you got to follow this road to the north. Can you go ahead and make a perception check for me?
Ooh. Ha. 23.
You start zooping out of town. And
zooping?
Zooping. Yep, we're calling it zooping now. You're zooping out of town, and you're still kind of rolling through that sand, right? This kind of hard, this beach environment is tough. And then suddenly the path kind of kicks up into some trees. Along the shoreline. You're still next to the ocean. Beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful ocean views there. We'll say today it's just a little bit foggy this morning.
The marine layer.
That marine layer, yeah. But you can see the sun is starting to peak up. You kick up out of the sand, start going through this rooty dirt trail. And with that perception check, you are able to see the tire tracks of this vehicle. It's also headed this way. Seem to kind of go right around... Wander Wharf, and then zip on up out of this way, heading north as well.
Wait, I'm at Wander Wharf?
No. Or sorry, heading around Bramble Beach.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And it continues to the north.
I pull out one of the bog bloom flowers. That's hard to say.
It is hard to say.
Bog bloom flowers and put it in the blender.
Okay, we'll say that as you open up your bag, you have about 10 bog bloom flowers left and about half your potatoes. So again, you're going to need to stock up probably once you get to Wander Wharf. You throw the bog bloom flower in. We'll say this one's like orange and has blue speckles on it. And as you throw it in to the back, you again get this burst of speed and start moving along.
I think he is a little worried about like hitting a root wrong, but I think she's still.
Yeah, we'll say it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. The sidecar is bouncing back and forth. And you guys are jiggling back and forth. Eventually, you do find your way back out onto some past world roads. Got the cement out there. And as you start making your way to the north, can you please roll for me?
A four.
You're zooming along. And the ground starts to rumble. You look down and it looks like there's almost like a little earthquake happening. Something's happening underneath the surface. And this kind of cement that you are on suddenly like breaks apart. And you start losing control of the bike, and you start losing that handle on it. Okay, so the mishap table on your bike, the wheeler is very finicky, right? The blender that sits on the back and everything, and it has problems. So you suddenly start losing control. Can you roll a d20 and tell me what you get?
Three.
A three. Okay, you threw that flower in the back and you're throttling up, right? But this extra movement, extra bumps and everything, it's kind of causing the engine, the blender, to bounce around a little bit too much. And you look back and you see smoke is erupting from the blender. It looks like the engine of this is trying to overheat. Can you go ahead and roll for me a 1d4?
One.
Okay. So, not for very long, but smoke envelops you, and you cannot see.
She's going to slow the bike down.
Okay, you go to slow the bike down, which means you...
And, like, she's, like, trying to, like, put her foot out to stabilize it.
Okay, to stabilize it. Okay. You go to slow the bike down, and suddenly the front of it hits a big root. And you feel this big jostle, and I need you and... You and Flibbit to make dexterity saving throws. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. I got an eight.
You got an eight. Flibbit got a nat one. So, the bike flips forward, and you are flung from it.
I'm wearing my helmet.
You are wearing your helmet, luckily, and you did slow down, so you're only going to take one of these. You're only going to take four damage from hitting the ground. Flibbit also. And you guys are splatted out across this cement.
I like to imagine that if Kia had been like a normal person and didn't have cat fur, she'd probably be all scratched up because like falling from a speeding motorcycle onto cement, I assume, does not feel
good. It's not great.
But I like to imagine that because she only took four damage, she has her fluffy fur that kind of helped. So,
yeah,
like,
just a couple scratches.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Flibbit only took that too, so he, like, gets up, floats up, and he's like, I don't know why I didn't, like, levitate right away. I could have maybe dodged that. ouch. Are you okay, Kia?
Yep. She pulls herself up and sits up and looks at the bike.
Okay. And he goes ahead and looks over at the bike. You guys pick it back up and set it down. And the engine looks like it's kind of overheated, and you might need to walk the bike for a little bit.
Okay. She's sighs and starts walking the bike as fast as a speed walk.
Okay. So you start walking the bike a little bit, and it kind of adds a little bit of your time. It was supposed to only take you about a day to get between Bramble Beach and Wander Wharf. And with this little bit of walking, you're going to have to decide partway through as it starts getting dark outside. You come across a fork in the road. The fork kind of heads east from here. And looking at your map, you can see... So you're coming up, and you can see to the east, there's a road that travels off into some mountains and a foresty area. But that Wander Wharf is to the northwest still. And you're not that far, but it is getting dark.
Which way do the tracks lead?
The tracks lead towards Wander Wharf.
She's going to walk it a little bit farther.
Okay, and I'd say about this time you're starting to feel like you could give it a try.
Yeah.
Firing it back up.
I think she's going to hop on, strap Flibbit in.
Yep, like you.
And carefully gun the bike.
Okay, you fire up the blender. It starts blending. You throw a potato in. And it, like, chugs at first, and a big poof of smoke comes out, but then it starts chugging forward and seems to be slowly getting better as you go.
Yay! Jeez, so, like, what time is it? Like,
I would say it's probably about dinner time.
Okay.
The sun is starting to set over the ocean. Beautiful orange, you know, purpley skies happening as the sun starts going down. It was a little... The fog burned off midday. You get the birds that are starting to calm down a little bit. Maybe you look out, you see, like, blow of a distant baleen whale. But it is starting to get darker. Maybe there's one or two stars in the sky.
Are there any, I think she'd probably go a bit longer.
Okay.
Maybe like half hour longer.
Okay, yeah, you go for a half hour longer, and eventually it starts getting very, very dark. The moto wheeler does not have a light on it like a normal motorcycle might, so you kind of get to this point. We'll say you find a little outcropping of rocks, and it looks pretty pleasant spot to kind of hide a little bit and have a view of the ocean.
I think she'd camp out there.
Okay. You go ahead and take a camp. You and Flibbit can make your perspective watches if you would like for the night, or you can just try to sleep.
I think Kia's going to take first watch and sit on like the outside of the outcropping and like watch the ocean.
Okay.
Watch the sunset.
Can you go ahead and roll a perception check? A couple hours go by, the night comes on, the crickets start chirping and various bugs start chirping, and you're keeping an eye out. Careful of your head.
A natural one, which is a total of 6.
Okay. Okay. You finish your watch and you go to sleep.
I wake up Flibbit.
Yeah, you wake up. What's up?
Can you take a second watch?
Yeah, okay. I'll keep both my eyes on everything.
And he just starts twisting them around in both directions. He got a natural 19.
Wow.
You go to sleep. You have a nice long rest. You can heal that 4 damage. And you wake up. And in the morning, another beautiful morning. Fog's there again, so still not super visible. As you awaken, you're starting to have a little, you know, dry jerky. You and Flibbit are getting all your gear put back together, putting your tent away, that kind of thing. And you're starting to pack up your belongings. And can you go ahead and go to your inventory for me?
Oh.
And can I added the Golden Watch of Speed as a blue item.
Oh, okay.
In your inventory. Can you go ahead and delete that from your inventory?
What?
As you go to put all your gear on, you notice that your watch is missing.
I turn to Flibbit and say, have you seen my watch at all?
The gold one?
Yeah.
I mean, you put it over there when you went to bed last night with all your gear, but no.
What, did you see anything last night?
Nope. When I was up, I had a perfect eye on everything, and I saw no funny business. Is it's missing, though?
Yeah, I can't find it anywhere.
Hmm. You did just forget it? You had it yesterday?
Yes, I had it yesterday.
Interesting. I don't know.
Kia starts fishing around in her backpack.
Okay. You start fishing around in your backpack. You have a couple surged. You have the hat in your bag, as well as some other, you know, random trinkets and all that. You have the clock. You have all this other stuff. No Golden Watch of Speed. Hmm.
She quickly surveys her surroundings of the outcrop.
Go ahead and make for me either investigation or survival check.
Investigation. 15.
15. It takes you a little while. Flibbit's kind of watching you too. He's sort of wandering around helping you out. And you kind of go over outside of your camp a little bit to where there's some dirt nearby. Mm-hmm. The morning mud kind of, you know, hasn't gotten that sun on it yet. So there's still some impressions in there. And you'd notice some very, very large feet with little claws on the end, like little sharp toenails.
Like
leaving camp.
Like cat feet? Or
probably more like bear feet that you would recognize. But the tracks only go for 10 feet, and then they disappear onto the rocks.
Mm.
And they kind of sort of head a little bit northeast instead of northwest, but then that's just, it goes to the rocks and you lose sight of the tracks.
She calls over Flibbit.
Yeah, what's up?
I found some tracks.
You found tracks?
Yeah. And I show him the...
Okay. Do you think that has something to do with your watch missing?
Maybe. I don't know.
I didn't see anything during my watch, and I felt very vigilant.
Yeah. Might have happened during mine, I don't know.
Well, what do you want to do about it?
I don't know. I mean, I like that watch, but it's also just a watch.
Well?
Well, it's a magical watch, but it's still just a watch.
Well, we could head towards Wander Wharf and then maybe figure it out from there. According to the map, we're not very far. It's only like an hour away, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody knows something.
Yeah, I think we should go there.
Okay, so Flip It Goes hops in his sidecar, and you guys are able to continue motoring on. As you start moving along on the road, come through this line of trees, and Flip's got the map out. It's flipping in the wind, and he's looking at it. And he's like, I think we're coming up out of here in just a second. And you break through the trees, and you see a kind of an interesting town, kind of opposite of Bramble Beach a little bit. Maybe not opposite. You see a low kind of cliff face, only maybe 20, 30 feet up from the water. There's no beaches here.
Yeah.
Sharp rock edges for going into the ocean. The waves crashing up against the cliffs, splashing upwards. You see a town coming into view a little ways off that seems to be built along the cliff face with poles going down into the ground, like a wharf, like a dock or a pier, yeah. Right? And there's all these buildings, and like every single building in this town is ocean facing.
Oh.
And it's very pretty.
Were they like on top of the cliff or on the cliff?
They are basically on the cliff
edge.
And then there's a pier sticking out in front of each of these buildings, this big walkway. And there's a bunch of room for people. And there's this huge dock that goes out really far. And it's very pretty, but it's basically a town that looks like it's built on a pier or a wharf.
Oh.
Okay. And Flippa goes, well, there it is. And then as you look, and Flippa goes, whoa.
What?
And you look, and as you approach, you start seeing this beautiful city that I just mentioned, right? However, from this vantage point, you can see very clearly the vehicle that you've been looking for. And it is sitting in the middle of town. And then there are also some other vehicles sitting in the middle of this town. They are on the pier. And from this distance, you can also see an airship that looks an awful lot like Beryl's airship chained to the ground. You can see 10, 15, 20, maybe more people dressed in that familiar dark, dark leather and red bloodhound outfit. And you see a very familiar 10-foot-tall minotaur in the distance. Exactly 10 feet tall. And they seem to be corralling up the townsfolk
on
the pier. You don't know, but it sure looks like it from this distance. So, Flippa goes, should we stop?
How far away does it look like?
It's still a ways off, like a couple miles. You're pretty far away, but you can kind of, maybe a mile and a half, you can still see just very distantly the distinct shapes of things. As you're coming around the hill and see there's a big rock cliff outcropping that looks like you could maybe get up onto for a better vantage point.
I think she takes a sharp turn to the cliff.
Okay, it's a little bumpy, and you slow down, and you get up to this cliff. There's a bunch of boulders all around on this cliffside, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you park the bike, you and Flippit go up, and you are able to get a view only a couple hundred yards away of the town. So as you get this better view, you see, again, bloodhounds. There's like some flags in the town. The airship is chained down. And you look down there, and there's probably a couple, it's not a huge town, maybe a couple hundred people, that are all being rounded up and put into a line on the wharf, this big, big, long pier, by maybe 30 bloodhounds.
Okay.
And they're all kind of standing there. And then at the very front of this crowd of people, you see a very tall minotaur, three shapes standing in front of him. One you very easily recognize from this distance as Beryl. The other two a little hard to make out, but one looks to be about half elf sized and one looks to be about gnome sized. And you can see that they're having a argument of sorts. Zar's moving his hands a lot. Beryl's pointing at him a lot. You can't make anything out, but this is what you see.
Okay. I think Kia looks to Flibbit and looks to the town, looks to Flibbit again, and says, I think we should go down there.
I mean, that's a lot of guys.
Maybe don't engage.
Do you want to be sneaky or something?
Yeah, maybe, like, sneak into the crowd.
Oh boy, I don't know.
Can you go ahead and make a perception check for me?
Woo. What is that? That is a 13.
13? You are kind of looking at the crowd and you're kind of shuffling to get into a better position, and all of a sudden your foot hits something and you hear somebody go, "Ow!"
I turn around.
You turn around and look down, and next to you, in a boulder-colored, camouflaged tent, is the foot of a very familiar-looking character. And he goes, and suddenly a flap slides backwards on this camouflaged, magical, past-world tent, and you see the wonderfully distinct mustaches of Cabot Cranberry. And he goes, "Oh, Kia, my dear, how fascinating."
I think Kia is like stares at him and is like silent for like an awkward 5 seconds and then is just like cackles.
Yeah, I see, as usual, I have stunned you with my brilliance. Quick, come inside. You can probably fit. Oh, hello, fluffy flying octopus creature. I forget your name. I'll have to check my journals. And he invites you into this tent. Do you go in?
Yes.
You go in, and inside you see your friend, the gnome Cabot Cranberry, famous author, and next to him is a well-dressed little frog person named Frogrek. And they are peering through some spectacles down into the town.
They're back.
And
Frogrek and Cabot Cranberry.
That's right. And they're looking down into this town. Cabot sits up and he nudges Frogrek, and Frogrek's like, oh, Kia.
I wave at him.
Good to see you again. I have learned a lot about things since last we met. And he kind of is talking a little bit like Cabot in a way.
He seems grown up. He's less, okay.
And he goes, yes, we are observing this town here. And Cabot's like, quite right, young Frogrek. Now, Kia, you must tell me everything that I have missed and what you're doing here. I find your presence quite fascinating. Last we met, you were headed off to find Maud in and heading off to go to Retail Ruins. I haven't seen you since then. What has been going on?
Well, I'm keeping this short. I went to Retail Ruins and got bitten by some of those, what do you call them? The buggies.
The Surge Scarabs.
Yeah, the Surge Scarabs.
And did you fall into a stupor and have a flashback again?
Yes, a flashback. And,
fascinating. He pulls out a journal and starts making more notes.
And, I was rescued, by a half-orc named Beryl, who was apparently one of Maud's friends.
Oh.
And, I think she's down there now in the town.
Oh.
And so we went to Bramble, or we went to,
Briarport
together. And we searched around and found that some bloodhounds were trying to, knock out local town, or knock out local shops and set up their own shops.
I've seen some of that in our travels, haven't we, Frogrek? Yes, sir. Yes, we have.
And so I, snuck onto their ship and tried and found out some stuff. Some stuff.
Yeah.
And then I went back to Retail Ruins and picked up a surged artifact. And then...
Oh, so you've still been searching for these artifacts that you were...
Yes.
You were contracted to find?
Yes.
Fascinating.
And then I went back to Map's Edge and dropped that off and found that everyone except Theodora had been teleported away. And so I went to Athlon... where I went to an auction and found another surged artifact, and then I found some of the people from Map's Edge and sent them back to Map's Edge, and then I went to Bramble Beach and followed Czar Bloodhoof and I went to Bramble Beach and participated in a sandscrape making competition.
Ah, yes, the famed sandscrape day.
Yes, and fought off some scrapers there, and then I came along the road to here.
And tell me, when you were in Athon, did you happen to meet a wonderful, lovely a bog witch by the name of Calvatia?
You know her? She helped me.
Yes, years ago we had an adventure together ourselves. shameless plug. Anyway. And he goes, well, so you're telling me that you are hot on the heels of Czar Bloodhoof himself.
Yes, he's that big big minotaur down there.
I should have known. I've heard of him, but I've never seen him. Frogric, take notes for me. And he hands Frogric the journal. Yes, of course. And Frogric starts taking these notes. And he says, now, for me to update you. Frogric and I have been on quite the journey. We've been searching all around for various creatures to fill into my novel. We have found wonderful different advances in the different variants out there. I met a snail person. I didn't even know that was possible. It was fascinating. His name was Steve.
Seriously? Steve?
Yes. With four E's. And we've been moving along, and we were coming to Wander Wharf to look for a specific type of creature, but unfortunately, we came and found this same sight that you are seeing here. The Bloodhounds seemed to show up last night and caused havoc in the town. We have been keeping camp nearby. Apparently, like you've heard, they're rounding up different past world tech, and rumor has it that the mayor of this town,
Harwick?
Yes, Harwick, is a bit of a hoarder of past world technologies. And so perhaps that's why they're here, or perhaps there's more. But it seems as though the town is overrun. I don't know what to do.
Well, I was just going to go down there and take a look. Do some of my own research.
I don't know if that's a good idea. There's so many people. And Frogger goes, yes, sir. And there's also the matter of we need to continue on our mission of getting involved with these bloodhounds is a good idea.
You don't have to.
But
I will.
But Cabot goes, no. We must help our friend Kia. And this is a good training session for us. Now, Kia, tell me, what can I do to help? What would be your plan? Do you plan to sneak in? Have a little bit of espionage? Do you plan to stay under the radar? Or do you go in charging and yelling at Czar Bloodhoof that his horns are ugly and he must surrender to your might?
Yeah, not the last one.
Not the last. So?
Yes, espionage, as you would say. I actually, what does that mean?
Spy craft.
Kia's never heard that word before.
Fascinating. and he goes, ooh, wait. Our plans might work together. You need to find a way to sneak in there. And he looks at Frogric, and Frogric goes, oh, I see. He goes, yes, there's a chance that what we need and what you need are the same thing.
I thought you needed research and I need to get in there.
Ah, yes. But my research this time is for a very specific type of creature.
Wait.
Let me show you my notes.
You're not?
They're fascinating. Huh?
You're not saying you want me to research on Czar?
No, not at all. Look at this. And he pulls out a book, and inside you see some very, very interesting drawings of a very, like, large, furry creature. And it appears to be blue in color. And it's basically what I would amount to, like, a blue Yeti or Sasquatch. Okay?
Okay.
And he goes, this is the Mojingle. Specifically, the Mirage Mountain Mojingle.
Mojingle,
yes. It's quite fascinating, I know.
Did you name it, or as
I did name it, because no one's named it yet. and I've decided to go with Mojingle.
But why did you name it Mojingle?
Because, I don't know, look at it though, doesn't it seem like a Mojingle?
Sure.
Anyway, the way this works is the Mojingle is a furry beast that lives in the mountains, just a short distance away. And it is a very territorial, from what we understand. We're hoping to come to Wander Wharf to learn more about the Mojingle. But apparently, it is willing to bargain with you. It has a fascination with past world tech items, from what I understand. And it takes them back to its den. And
yeah.
It eats them.
Or
repurposes it into its den, like decoration.
Kia, years go back and like her tail starts flipping like dangerously around and her eyes go wide and she says past world deck you say?
Yes.
It
can or decorate its home with them. But apparently you can trade if you give it to past world tech item, it might do a favor for you. They are sentient beings. And the real interesting thing is, apparently, they carry in their fur a particle that when they shake their fur and a dust comes out, a blue dust, it is able to secrete a cloud that turns everything around it invisible.
Really?
And he's looking, yes, quite fascinating, I know. So, perhaps we could find the Mojingle, and it could help us get into that town.
What I'm worried about is that finding the Mojingle.
Mojingle, yes, fascinating name, I know.
Will take too long.
It might, but I do have a lead on where it is. I think maybe we could get it done in a couple hours.
Really?
Yeah, maybe before this evening at the very least. And then we could sneak in at night.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay. And he and Frogrick start disassembling their thing. So we'll head east into the Mirage Mountains and find the Mirage Mojingle.
Just like Kiel looks to flip it.
Yeah, what's up? I like the name. That sounds catchy.
She turns away from flip it. Starts talking to Cabot about where the Mojingle should be.
Yes, and he starts, you guys start walking back down the thing, and he starts pulling out a detailed map, and he says, now, we are here on the western edges of the Mirage Mountains, as you can see, and from what I understand, the Mojingle lives on this western side. There's some sort of cave, there's some sort of den, but you are a rummager. You have some tracking abilities. We can maybe go find some tracks nearby and see if we can find the Mojingle. I've even brought, and he just has a sack full of various past world tech items. I've brought some offerings.
You're willing to give those up?
To meet the Mojingle, of course. It will be fascinating for my novel.
Okay.
So, follow Frogrick. He is quite the navigator. And Frogrick's like, this way. And he starts marching you guys east towards that trail. An hour passes by. You start going through and you start climbing up the hillsides of the Mirage Mountain bases, right? You start
the foot of the mountains.
You're going over rocks. You're coming up on, you know, caves here and there. Nothing in there. Nothing in there. Another hour passes by. Can you go ahead and make an investigation a perception check?
Nat 20 for 25.
Whoa, nat 20. Okay, suddenly something catches your eye, like a shimmer or something off to the side, and you look over and you see something shimmer through the air, maybe a couple hundred yards off to your right, and it's working its way up the mountain.
I nudge Cabot.
Oh, what's it?
And I point to the shimmery thing and I say, is that?
I don't know. Let's go see if we can catch its tracks. And so you run over to where you saw the shimmer. The shimmer is long gone by now, but you just saw that shimmer. And with that perception check, you are able to see in some dusty kind of rock dirt that's moving up the mountain, a very familiar track. A large foot that looks an awful lot like a bear with sharp little things that you saw outside of your camp this morning.
I say, I think that's it. I've seen these tracks before.
You have?
Yeah, near my camp. And I think the Mojingle took one of my
Yes, Mojingle. Yes, say it with me. Mo...
Jingle?
Jingle. It rolls off the tongue. I love it. Okay, so you think that you actually had an experience with the Mojingle this morning?
Well, I didn't see it,
but
it took some of my stuff.
It's a thief!
Yes.
And it quickly writes down notes as well. And he starts following you while he's making notes as you guys start tracking this Mojingle up the mountain. Cabot and Frogwick are exchanging notes, and you guys start getting up into more just rocks. Like, you're having to clamber over boulders and everything as you start going up and up and up. Only occasionally are you able to see these footprints. Flibbit comes up to you and he goes, well, I hope this will go quickly. We're going to need to get back on the trail of Czar and help those guys out.
Yeah.
But I won't lie. I'm excited to meet this Mojingle.
I admit it should be interesting.
All right. Well, let's hurry it up. And you guys start busting up the hill. Okay. A couple hours pass by and you're still on the trail. And Cabot comes up to you and he's like, well, what do you think? Do you think if this is the Mojingle, is there any way we can tell how close we are to its den?
No idea.
No idea. Okay. Well, let's just keep on moving. And you guys kind of come up over this rock thing and you get to a flat spot in the mountain, like a plateau almost. And it's a couple hundred yards across, and in this plateau is just very, very fine gravel-style rock, almost like it'd be walking through sand to go through there. And you guys start walking through that area, and about halfway across, you feel a little tap on your shoulder, and Frogrick looks up at you and he goes, I'm feeling something in my toes.
Your toes?
Yes, I don't wear shoes. I have found from our adventures with Cabot and myself that I can sense things with the finite frog-like footing that I have in my frogling form. Something, and he looks down beneath us.
I turn to Cabot and say, I think Frogrick found something.
What did we find? A den?
No, but...
But something.
Yeah.
And Frogrick goes, unfortunately, it appears to be something that is moving.
Beneath us?
Beneath us.
Kia quickly, are there any, like, boulders around?
Yeah, there's, on the outside ring of the edge, there are some boulders.
Kia quickly, like, dashes over to a boulder and climbs on top.
Okay, everybody starts dashing over towards this boulder, and suddenly... You feel the rumble, too. It's more than just this thing that Frogrick can feel. And suddenly all those rocks that you're standing in start shaking and shaking violently. They're making like a clattering noise as something starts rumbling. And all of a sudden, right as you jump up out of the soft rock and onto a boulder, everybody's jumping up there, too. You turn, and as you do, you see coming out of the ground this crazy scraper. And it bursts forth from this soft gravel, and it has armor shell-like appearance on its back that seems to be made out of rock in plating.
Oh.
And then underneath its belly, a bunch of legs coming out like an insect, probably, you know, 6 legs on each side, 12 total legs.
Oh, wow.
Of these metallic, weird, like, ski pole-looking things, you know, just straight down kind of poles. And it starts skidding around and looking around and looking around.
I'd back up.
And you guys were in clear view, but it didn't seem to notice you.
I back up behind the boulder.
You back up behind the boulder. And Cabot goes, fascinating. And he starts writing down. And then you watch as this huge golem, this huge scraper golem, curls up into a ball. Like a potato bug or pill bug, and starts rolling around the edges of this rock, this roll golem.
Wait, is this the... Kia pulls out the little, like, map
Uh-huh.
And like reads it.
Yeah, so you pull out the map that you got all those days ago from a wild magic storm where the note appeared in your bag. And you open it up and it was a treasure trove from north of Athon that indicated this golem, this roll golem, as a protecting area to a past world ruin full of past world tech items. And as this thing rolls around a little bit and uncurls again, you can tell it was looking around. It definitely sensed you guys. It jumps up in the air and then burrows down into the soft rock, burrow, 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 and disappears. And you look at the map and you look at everything from those notes, and it does appear that this is the roll golem mentioned in the notes. Cabot goes, I remember when you got that note.
Yeah.
Does this mean we are there?
I think so.
Well,
this isn't anything like a Mo Jingle, but it's
it is definitely not a Mo Jingle. I'll have to come up with a fascinating name for this creature as well. Now, whatever will we do, we're going to need to get past that. Or maybe to go down and see if there's anything down there that could help us too. And as you take the note and fold it back up and put it into your bag, your hand brushes the baseball cap.
Mm-hmm.
And as you brush the baseball cap, you get like a feeling like that surged item is, it's actually putting off power. Something's going on with it that hasn't happened.
I pull it out.
You pull it out. It's still doing the same thing. It's kind of pulsing with power.
She puts it on.
You put it on. And you're kind of looking up the mountain, maybe towards Cabot. And as you put it on, like somebody grabbed your head and pulled it down in a direction, the hat points down to the ground. And you get a finite image in your head of a past world ruin, a scrape under the ground. And as you try to move your head away, it rubber bands back to that area. And you are getting basically like a mental image of this scrape underneath you. And the hat seems to, in some way, be connected with past world ruins and scrapes. And it's telling you where it is, and almost a little bit of the blueprint of it.
Like
you can tell as you look down, as the roll golem starts rolling its way, it gets through the barrier of rocks and it goes into a tunnel, and then it starts rolling down these tunnels, and you can almost sense where the roll golem is.
Oh.
As it is going through this octagon-shaped scrape underground, rolling around in almost like a maze shape.
Dun, dun, dun. Sorry, I just wanted to do the sound effect. Kia takes off the hat so it doesn't like rubber band her.
Yeah.
And turns to Cabot and says, I think I know what's underneath.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's a scrape. the hat showed me. It's that past world item I picked up from the auction.
Oh, and it can tell you what's underneath there?
Yeah.
Is there any evidence of the Mo Jingle?
Was there?
Why don't you go ahead and put the hat back on, and I'll let you make an advantage perception check.
They're the same number.
Okay.
So that is a 13.
A 13? Okay, that's good enough. It's not direct, but you get the sense that you put the hat back on and you kind of, again, get this image of this like blueprint in your mind, seeing this golem roll. And as it gets towards the end, it like bounces off a wall and starts coming back through the tunnels. So it's almost like you guys would have to go down there and figure out a way through these tunnels or whatever to dodge this thing, but it's making a circuit back and forth.
Mm.
You can also sense that it has a couple spots where it can come out of the ground. And as it gets toward the end and bounces and comes back, you get this faint little sense of another presence on the far end of this scrape. Come down through one of these gravel spots and descend into the scrape at the back. And
Where the
roll golem was. And then descend a little bit further past where the roll golem would have been into a chamber.
Gasps, like, takes off the hat and says to Cabot, it's here.
The Mo Jingle?
I think so.
Well, there's only one way to find out, and it will be fascinating. And that is where we're going to end.
Fascinating.
Fascinating. As next time you'll have to deal with the roll golem and the mo jingle.
Seriously, why the mo jingle?
I don't know. I was sitting here trying to come up with names for this creature, and I could not for some reason like get out of my head the idea that jingle needed to be a part of the word. And so I just basically went through various like bow, so jingle, toe jingle, low jingle, and then I was like, mo jingle. That's the one. So I don't know. It's the mo jingle. You're welcome. Maybe we'll do art of the mo jingle.
Yes.
At
yes,
some point
please.
In the future. All right. Thank you all for joining us on this nonsense and learning about the creatures of the world.
With Frogrick and Cabot. The...
That's right. The dynamic duo. Back at it again.
And Frogrick now is like fancy.
Yep, he's quite fancy. And you guys start putting all your stuff away and you gear up to head down into the Mojingle / Rock Roll Golem Den. All right, thank you all for listening. Give us a follow, give us a whatever. We like.
Give us a whatever.
That's right.
That's please definitely on thing, a thing
review,
on social media.
A star, a check mark, a good thought. Really, whatever. But thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time
on
Mo Jingle Quest. I'm renaming the podcast.
Mo Jingle Quest.
Just kidding.
Dadventurous.
Bye.